Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, March 15th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Debbie Chandler. Debbie and her husband Bobby joined Mountain Brook Baptist last year, and I can't wait for the end of the podcast where you hear more about her life and faith. Thank you, Debbie, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. First, we're reading from Luke chapter 20, verses 41 through 47. But he said to them, "How can they say that the Christ is David's son? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' David thus calls him Lord, so how is he his son? And in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, 'Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplace and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feast, who would devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation.'" And now we'll read from Psalm 144. "Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. O Lord, what is a man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Flash forth the lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and rout them. Stretch out your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me from the many waters, from the hand of foreigners, whose mouths speak lies, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a 10-stringed harp I will play to you, who gives victory to kings, who rescues David his servant from the cruel sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners whose mouths speak lies and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. May our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. May our sheep bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord."
Thank you so much, Debbie, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. I have enjoyed getting to know you, and I want everyone else to get to know you. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your family.
Well, my husband is Bobby Chandler, and we have one son, Cars Chandler, who is married to a precious girl, Libby McKee, who was raised in Marietta, and they are walking with the Lord in Huntsville in a wonderful Bible-teaching church, and she has a great family. Answer to my prayers that he has married into a wonderful Christian family with siblings and just a great faith walk. I was raised in Muscle Shoals in a wonderful Baptist church and became a Christian at a young age. And I was about six, and I remember very clearly reading my Bible and having been taught about asking Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you for your sins. I did that, and I am convinced that it was very real, and continued in my church. And I remember being at a Baptist church camp on this rocky creek stream, and reading my Bible and reading "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever." And it just stuck that I needed to make Scripture a part of my life, and that's how I was really going to hear the voice of God. And he has been faithful to honor that. I then went to Auburn, and my faith matured there. I think fellowship, being a little less caught up in some superficial things in high school, I found really godly fellowship and some wonderful teaching. And then graduated, and I was in various kinds of sales, taught school for 3 years, medical sales most of the time after that. And then at 39, I met Bobby, and he and I dated for almost 2 years and then married. And he at the time was resistant to the idea of Bible study and Sunday school. He was committed to going to church. But as time went on, I actually started reading a book called The Power of the Praying Woman, or Wife, I think, by Stormy O'Martian. And it impressed on me the power we have in prayer, but also that I needed to back off on trying to persuade Bobby because it wasn't working. And I started praying for godly men in his life to lead him and to witness to him. And that's what happened. And he got involved in with Richard Simmons at Executive Leadership Ministries. He began, as my son got older, he got involved with Big Time Ministries, ending up traveling with them still on mission trips and being on their board. And I really saw, as he was able to dig into Scripture, and he did start doing Bible study and did start going to Sunday school, I saw a real change in his life and his attitude. And it was neat that I actually got to see what I believed in my heart, but I don't know that I'd really ever seen it, you know, Scripture just really work in that way so effectively.
Well, you and Bobby have been such a blessing to our fellowship. So I'm thankful to hear how you have both progressed in your faith along the way. I want to hear a little bit more about maybe your hobbies and your interests. What do you like doing? What are you into?
Well, my favorite thing, of course, is spending time with my son and his wife when we're able to do that. Also, just daily, I love gardening. I'm often in my yard, and I feel such a connection with God when I'm in his amazing creation. I play tennis. We are Black Lab people, so we now have our fifth Black Lab, and he's a lot of fun.
What is his name?
Duke.
Okay. Is Duke. There a story behind his name?
Well, yes, because he kind of walked into our lives like he thought he owned this place. And so he had such a confidence as a puppy. We felt like that name kind of stood out.
Okay. We talked a little bit about Bobby's journey of faith, mm-hmm. but I want to hear a little bit more about your journey or milestones of faith for you along the way.
So, being single out of college and not marrying until 39, I definitely walked with God most of that time. But I also did have, you know, times when I would push God away. And I think about the song, Prone to Wander, Lord, I Feel It, Prone to Leave the God I Love. And I saw myself just wanting to do what I wanted to do and, you know, being my own boss, but never wanting to let God get too far out of reach. But I realize now, you know, he was the one that was tethered to me and always drew me back and kept me from wandering too far. And I'm really grateful for that.
Tell me a little bit about your son, Cars.
Well, Cars is, he's really known for having a wonderful mind. He was a good student. He played tennis at Mountain Brook also, and
he's a musician as well.
He is a musician. He started playing piano and cried the first time when he was like 7. The first time I told him he was having a lesson, but I persevered and realized he actually did like it. And that's why we're the parents, right? Because we sometimes have a bigger picture than
they
have.
I hope that the Splon kids are listening because they right. don't really love going to piano.
Right. Well, I kept dropping out, so stick with it. But he's always been really committed to his faith. He's a disciplined kid. He's funny. He's has a funny sense of humor. And he was an intern at Big Time Ministries, and you know, it's funny how you learn from your children. He challenges Bobby and I in our faith walk, too.
Now, when he was a child, you went through a very traumatic experience with Cars. Would you share some of that with us?
So I had Cars at 42, and needless to say, I was very grateful and began praying that he would grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And I did seek wise counsel often. Being an older mom, I wanted to be in touch with, you know, what was current, but also make sure that I was really following God's direction and was blessed with godly people. And my parents were, even though they haven't been churchgoers for many years, they raised us in the church, and they still have contributed a lot in terms of wisdom to raising him. And Bobby, of course, was a very committed husband. I mean, not husband, yes, but father, and a very adoring father, too, which helps. And so when Cars was about three, he started saying he felt like he cleared his throat a lot, and he said he felt like he had gum in his throat because I thought he had tonsil problems like I'd had. And 2 weeks later, fast forward, we found that that was not what was going on. I got a call from Children's at 3 o'clock one Friday afternoon saying, how soon can you be here? This is cancer, and we need to run more tests to determine what our next steps are. And it wasn't, you can come tomorrow or Monday. They said they would wait for us. So I knew that wasn't good, but I began to dig into scripture and really tried to lean on God and not panic. The process of the testing and the phone calls to specialists and everything is too long to go into, but the part of it that really, I think, deepened my faith walk, deepened Bobby's walk, was that we turned to God. And the highlights are that God really impressed on me to dig into scripture. And I still have these two pages on construction paper written with different colored cards, different colored markers of just scripture that I think God gave me that was like my cheat sheet that I could always go back to. And that, I believe, really enabled me to feel like God was so present that, like never before and like never since, that it was almost as though there was no distinction between God and my soul and my heart, because he was just so real. One of the verses that came to Cars and I was in Luke, do not be afraid, your prayer has been heard. And we said it so many times when he'd be going into a procedure or whatever, and he really embraced it. But for me, it meant not that I knew what the outcome was going to be, but that God heard our prayers. He was there no matter what the outcome. At one point in this journey, I realized that I had been putting the worst case scenario just out of my mind. I just wasn't dealing with it. I was just staying positive and, you know, keeping everybody happy. But in the back, I felt like there was this little snake. Satan was kind of slithering around and occasionally would, you know, raise his little head and sow these seeds of doubt or fear. And at one point, I felt like I literally turned, thinking, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Turned like in a Western movie with my barrels loaded, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. We will not fall. With God's help, our faith will stand. Even if we lose this battle with cancer and we lose our son to heaven, so you're wasting your time. So just go away. And it worked. I felt like, you know, I felt like I had a deeper level of peace, and he was gone. And the next day, this song came out by Josh Turner, and the name of it, it's a fabulous song, Don't Go Riding on That Long Black Train. And the lyrics say, there's victory in the Lord, victory I say, cling to the Father and his holy name, and don't go riding on that long black train. And Carson and I would sing that, and it was this assurance that I didn't have to go down that dark path of fear. I could just praise God and ride this journey out. And I think that song is so beneficial for any kind of struggle, whether that's depression or fear or loneliness or any anxiety you might have about any subject. This may be a good time to acknowledge our friends and family whose prayers were not answered in the same way. instead of their child going on to live, they went on to live in heaven. And I so admire the strength and the courage and the faith that I've observed in these people and how well they've done it. One thing that happened in the midst of treatment is we had some options to exercise, and Bobby and I just weren't really in agreement. And I think it's so common in times of crisis to have that happen in a marriage. And yet my instinct was to kind of bulldoze ahead, thinking I was right. And I got the exact opposite message as I prayed, and that was to sit back and to pray and to give Bobby time to come to his own understanding of the situation. And I very distinctly remember feeling like I could win the battle, being the cancer, and I could lose the war, being my marriage, and that it was potentially more damaging than cancer to have our marriage fall apart. And it didn't really take a long time, but he did come to a meeting of the minds with me, and I'm very grateful for that and for his leadership and his prayer life and commitment to the Lord in this.
Thank you for sharing with us openly about that journey and how the Lord was present with you during that time. Would you share with us the journey of how you got connected with Mountain Brook Baptist?
Well, Bobby has a very close friend, and his wife, Sarah Lynn, has become a very dear friend of mine, J.K. and Sarah Lynn Keith. And they had been coming here, and we knew that their faith was like ours. And, I mean, they were looking for the same kind of things we were looking for in a church. And we had talked about visiting and somehow just hadn't. And we came and went to that Sunday school class. And the first time we visited, Wayne talked about the building project. And I remember him saying that as we are looking at where we want to spend this money, I want to ask that we go to the Holy Spirit and ask that the Holy Spirit establish our priorities. It gives me chills thinking about it. And I just remember thinking, this is it. We just loved the teaching, and the fellowship was very warm. You know, it was a very warm spirit here. I felt like, really, more than any of the churches I visited, if you're sitting next to someone, people introduce themselves. You know, they welcome you, and that just doesn't always happen.
Well, also, you have made it a point to try to get involved. You've asked me, how can I help? And you do the planters outside the CLC when the seasons come along. You change out the flowers, and you help me with the women's ministry open house. And I know that you also serve in the community with Bible clubs. Tell me a little bit about that before we close.
A friend and I did Bible club for our boys as they were growing up. And we felt like we weren't worthy, but we couldn't find anybody else to do it. So, and it ended up being such a blessing because I started studying the Old Testament, which I'd always kind of shied away from, apart from Psalms and Proverbs. And this light came on. You know, I understood so much more of the New Testament because of the Old. And then, you know, our kids grow up and they get involved in big time ministry and that sort of thing. And so they didn't really need us anymore. But I really believed in Bible club. And I found myself when my sons, you know, I'm an empty nester, thinking I could help because one of my friends came and she was kind of the enforcer. You know, it's hard to discipline your children's friends. And so I get to be more of the disciplinarian and kind of, you know, rally the kids. And occasionally I might pipe in with a comment or two. But the other blessing has been the moms that are involved. Brooke and Leanne and Coralie are just so precious. And it encourages me to know that they're so committed to this.
I'm challenged by the way that you allow Scripture to lead your life, and I'm thankful for your testimony of God's faithfulness. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Father, I thank you for your hand being present in our lives, Lord, that you love us so much that you are willing to bring your Son to us to share your love and your message. Lord, I thank you that your leading is gentle. And yet, Lord, I thank you that you do provide structure for us and guidance in your word, that we are not floundering unassisted in this world. I pray, Lord, that you would impress on us to be salt and light, and that we remember that we are more than conquerors, that you have put a foot on Satan and that he does not win. In Christ's name.
Amen.